This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News. I've got my friend Dean Vandermeer on the line of Set Free Ministries. We're going to be talking about National Suicide Prevention Month today because that's September. And Dean, I know this is a problem in the U.S. We've talked about it before. The 10th leading cause of death, an estimated 129 suicides per day. I'd like to focus in a little bit on the church as well. Is this something you guys encounter as you counsel believers and just in your general practice as well? Is it something you encounter often and why?
It is something we encounter often because we're in a crisis ministry. Set Free helps people that are in crisis, spiritual and emotional crisis. So we're going to get an inordinate amount of calls of people who are desperate for some type of solution in their current situation. So even yesterday morning, we received a call from a girl who I had helped. Our team, I was on the team that helped her about a year ago. She was very suicidal and made an attempt, ended up leading her to Christ. And now she's an advocate. She was actually heading to a suicide prevention meeting when she heard about her nephew that wanted to commit suicide. So she becomes the advocate in helping others because she knows the pain of it. And now she's on the other side giving hope because she knows that in Christ there's always going to be hope. But sometimes when you're in your crisis, you're focused on the storm, and you're not focused on someone who can deliver you from the storm. And so when we're helping people who are suicidal, oftentimes they're overcome with their current circumstances. And so what you help them see is something beyond their current circumstances, and that the Lord is able to get you through the storm, and sometimes he can even quiet the storm.
And let's... Go ahead.
There's a very spiritual dimension to this that I don't think a lot of people in the mental health field understand, is that there is a real dimension called the spiritual dimension that is actually assaulting people and trying to get them to do something that Satan is not allowed to do. Satan's not allowed to kill us, or we'd all be wiped out in an hour, just like Job's family. He was wiped out. They were all wiped out in an hour because Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And so oftentimes there's a dimension that's pushing on people from the spiritual dimension, and the enemy's throwing thoughts and attacking them spiritually. It's an unseen war that's going on, but the unseen war is, you know, the messages are being received. Just kill yourself. Just do it. Get it over with. There'll be relief. Nobody cares about you anyway. It's hopeless. So when you talk to people who are suicidal, they get blistered with those messages often, and then they just obey the messages. And we're told in Scripture that our battle is not flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers, and authorities, spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And that warning was actually written to the church. Be aware there's a battle. Be aware that you're going to be assaulted. Be aware that the enemy is going to come at you and trying to get you to do something that he can't do. Remember the temptation of Jesus. Go to the highest citadel, go to the highest point and jump off. Go ahead and commit suicide and God will save you. That's just interesting that Jesus himself was tempted with that.
It is. I want to ask you about that in the sense that when you think about National Suicide Prevention Month, how does prevention factor in when you have this spiritual dimension?
Well, prevention is really awareness. We, the church, right? We're the bride of Christ. And when you're the bride of Christ, you have love, there's joy, there's peace, and there's hope. There's faith, hope, and love, the three greatest things that we talk about. So if we're together as the body of Christ and we're functioning properly together, then there will be a dimension in the body of Christ that is strong even when we're weak. So last year, okay, I was I went through a crisis last year. I wasn't suicidal, but I was dying. And I was dying a moment. I was near death. And the body of Christ rose up and began to pray for me. I was getting texts every few minutes of people offering prayers, and I had hope because the body of Christ was pulling for me and talking to God a lot about my situation. And I was near death with malaria twice. So you know, you start to feel like, Lord, is this it? Is there no hope left? But the body of Christ pulls together and there is hope. So, you know, can we prevent suicide? Yes, we can by reaching out and touching those who feel hopeless. Just reaching out that hand and saying, you're not alone. Pity the man that stumbles and falls and has no one to help them up. Okay, that when you reach that hand out and you say, I'm here for you, I'll help you. I'm here for you. You're not alone. Because Satan's all about lies. So Adam and Eve, when they sin, their first response is fear, shame, and guilt, run and hide. God's mad, you're bad. That's how they feel. Those are emotions, right? And they've really committed a sin, and so now they feel terrible, and they feel worthless, and they feel like God doesn't love them. And Satan obviously is reminding them, you're no good now. You have to run and hide. You have to cover your shame. God will never love you. That wasn't true, because God actually sought them out and reached a hand out and say, I love you. Come on, let me pick you up. So even God himself demonstrated, hope in a time of hopelessness. That's our Father.
For someone who may hear this story on the radio or read it on our website, and they agree with what you're saying, like, okay, that's all great. What do I do now? How would you answer that question?
What do I do now? Okay, so there was a group of guys that felt hopeless one night when their boat was sinking and there was a huge storm. And it was Jesus was in the boat, but there were 12 apostles freaking out because their focus was the storm. And it was real. There was a big storm and they were taking on water. So in their own effort, they were bailing water and they were freaking out, filled with anxiety, filled with fear, they were going to die. They were focused on the storm. How did that get resolved? Somebody went and woke Jesus up and had a discussion with him. And he calmed the storm. So that's what I would suggest. Let's talk to the Creator who created you. Let's have a conversation with him. Let's reach out and say, Lord, help me in my time of need. You're my only hope. And Scripture is very clear. I resist the proud man. I will give my grace to the broken man, to the humble man, to the lowly. He's kind to the brokenhearted. He wants to set the oppressed free. He wants to open the eyes of the blind and heal the brokenhearted. That's the mission statement of Jesus in Luke 4:18. So those people who feel this way and their emotions, okay, what is true? The truth is Jesus Christ has paid for all the sin that has been done to them and their sinful response to the sin that brought them to depression. So there's a lot of women that I deal with who have been sexually abused. They're very depressed. They're very angry. And they feel hopeless, and some want to suicide. And all they do is focus on the pain and the event of being abused. And I said, what if we take that and bring it to Jesus because he paid for it and you don't have to carry it anymore? Let's talk about that. Hebrews 12:1, to the church. Here's what it says to the church. Let us cut off the sin that so easily entangles us. Let's get rid of all the weights that hinder us. Let's run a good race. You know how many Christians there are that are carrying heavy backpacks? Heavy backpacks of being sinned against by people that were supposed to love them the most. They carry heavy burdens. Those burdens aren't supposed to be carried. Not long term. Christ died for that. But we don't know of a way to empty the backpack or get help with getting the backpack off. So at Set Free Ministries, that's really what we do for the body of Christ. We're going to stumble and fall, all of us. All of us are going to, life is hard, life is difficult. All of us are going to be in crisis at some time in our life. Is someone else, are we going to allow someone else to help us when we stumble and fall and pick us back up? Will our pride get in the way of that? Will we run and hide? Satan's number one trick with people who are suicidal, run and hide, isolate. No one will understand. Nobody understands. And then a lot of people blame God. I was with a gal in her mid-20s, and she was suicidal, and she was an alcoholic, and she had been through extreme trauma as a child. And she was from Africa, and she had been horrifically abused from age 5 to 10 in an IDP camp. And she was carrying all the pain and all the shame of those events and had never really, really shared it with anyone. So she was angry at God for allowing it. She was angry at her mother for not preventing it. And she was angry at her abuser that took advantage of her several hundred times. And that's what her focus was. And when I could get her mind off of the pain and off of the shame and off of what had happened to her and put it on Christ, who said, I will carry it. Can we get it to him? Are you willing to release it into him? The joy that came over her was astounding, because she finally knew she could not carry the load anymore. That wasn't hers to carry anyway. And all of a sudden she had hope for a new future. Now, is it done? No, she needs lots of help. But you know what? That was a reset that day. And all of a sudden, she didn't have to hit the exit button. She had hope for tomorrow. So truth sets captives free. The church is the bride of Christ. We're the hands and feet of Jesus. We're supposed to be in this business of searching for the lost, bringing back strays, and binding up the brokenhearted. That's Ezekiel 34. God says, I'm against the shepherds of Israel who do not bind up the broken, who do not search for the lost strays and bring back and search for the lost. And so then God says, I myself will do it. And then when Yeshua, Jesus Christ, came, he did exactly that. That's what he did. So if you watch Jesus, this is what he was doing when he was here. He was helping those very people. So they're in a beautiful position. Psalm 34, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to, the Lord is close to the broken, and he binds up those who are hurting. So Psalm 34 is just a beautiful song of God reaching out to these people who have broken hearts and broken spirits. He says, those are the ones I can revive. So they're really in a good position to really know God at a very intimate level.
And we will connect those people who are kind of on the front lines of this battle. We'll connect them with you for more information and next steps. But for those of us who are kind of on the outer edge, who may not be in a battle like this or know someone in a battle like this, how can we be praying?
The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords sees all things. And if you start changing your prayers of, Lord, I'm available for you to use me to search for the lost and to bind up the brokenhearted, Lord, I'm available and I'm willing. Start to pray that prayer and see what happens. You might be shocked. You might be shocked and amazed, because that very thing, your eyes will be open to those around you who need that hand up, and he will prompt you. I can't tell you how many phone calls I've made on a prompting of the Holy Spirit. Call Bob, call Keith, call Steve. And I call and they say, how did you know to call? And I said, I don't know. They said, I needed this call today. So the Holy Spirit is prompting us all the time. Sometimes we're not listening. So even obeying the still small voice of God when he says, hey, make a call, reach out to someone who is hurting. Just be that hand out. So oftentimes we just have to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit's prompting and obey. There's a book written by a guy here in town, Claire DeGraff. It's called 10-Second Rule. And the premise of the book is you have 10 seconds to obey the Holy Spirit of God, or you will reason it away. You won't do it. So you have 10 seconds. So the Holy Spirit's going to prompt you to do something. You can obey within 10 seconds. You're going to obey, or within 10 seconds, you're going to reason it away and never do it. And then God will choose someone else to get involved. So It's a good book. God is always talking. Sometimes we're too busy. We're not listening. So that's what I would say is let's be more aware of our surroundings and those hurting people around us and reach out and offer that help.
Amen to that. And that wraps up my questions for now. Was there anything I missed or anything else you wanted to add?
There was a guy who was desperate in the scriptures, very desperate. And I know there's a lot of kids out there right now who are cutting. And they feel hopeless. And the only way for them to get relief is cutting. There's actually a Bible story about that. And it's a man who cut himself in the caves. He was hopeless. He was alone. He was desolate. And when Jesus showed up, the realm, the spiritual realm, had to obey the master. And Jesus shows up, and Jesus Christ, the power of Christ, forced the spiritual realm to back up and be put and set apart from this man, and he came to his right mind. I'm telling you, that's available for all. I'm telling you, it's true. That story that happened for that man is available to anyone today, I'm telling you. And the Church of Jesus Christ has to step into that, because we have the authority to do the very same thing that Jesus was doing. And sometimes it's going to be instructing that spiritual realm off of people so that their blind eyes can see. So what Jesus did for that man, Jesus is actually asking the church to get engaged in doing that very type of ministry.